This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com.
It's the Frontline Theater. Today, starring Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor, Sidney Greenstreet, and Peter Lorre. And as our extra special guests of honor, Paul Whiteman and his orchestra. This is Ken Niles to welcome you once again to the Frontline Theater, brought to you men in the Armed Forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department. This is your theater, and every performance in it is presented especially for you, the men fighting with the United Nations on freedom's front line. Today we present a radio adaptation of the thrilling and fast-moving detective story, The Maltese Falcon. It stars Humphrey Bogart as Private Detective Sam Spade, Mary Astor as Miss Wonderly, Sidney Greenstreet as Casper Gutman, and Peter Lorre as Joel Cairo. This is the story of the Maltese Falcon and of the people whose lives it touched and seared. It began in San Francisco when a beautiful young woman who identified herself as Miss Wonderly walked into the offices of Spade and Archer, private detectives. Miss Wonderly had just told Sam Spade why she wished to engage detectives when Spade's partner, Miles Archer, entered the office.
Excuse me, Sam. Oh, it's all right, Miles. Come in. Miss Wonderly, this is Miles Archer, my partner.
How do you do? Oh,
I'm pleased to meet you.
Miss Wonderly's sister ran away from New York with a fellow named Floyd Thursby. They're here in San Francisco. Miss Wonderly has seen Thursby and has a date with him tonight. Maybe he'll bring the sister with him. The chances are he won't. Miss Wonderly wants us to find the sister, get her away from Thursby and back home.
But I want you to know that he's a dangerous man. I don't think he'd stop at anything. I don't believe he'd hesitate to kill Corinne, my sister, if he thought it would save him.
Uh-huh. What time is he coming to see you, Miss Wonderly?
After 8 o'clock.
All right, Miss Wonderly, we'll have a man there.
Well, I'll look after it myself.
Thank you, Mr. Archer. Will $200 be enough for a retainer?
Plenty. Oh, it'll help if you meet Thursby in your hotel lobby, Miss Wonderly.
I will. Thank you again.
Goodbye. Well, Archer, what do you think of her?
Sweet. We're to enjoy shadowing her.
Okay, sucker. You call me if you run into any trouble. Hello? Yes, it's Spade.
It's Lieutenant Dundee, Spade.
What's on your mind, copper?
I thought you might be interested in knowing that your partner, Archer, was found in an alley near the St. Mark, shot through the heart from close range. Blast burnt his coat. Come me down for a look at him before he's moved?
No. You've seen everything I could.
His gun was tucked away on his hip. It hadn't been fired. His overcoat was buttoned. Was he working, Sam? Well?
He was supposed to be tailing a fellow named Floyd Thursby.
What for?
Now, now don't crowd me. I'll see you after I break the news to Archer's wife.
I'll be there in a couple of hours.
Oh, hello, copper. Come on in.
Make the news to Archer's wife, Sam?
Uh-huh.
What kind of a gun do you carry?
None. I don't like them much.
You don't just happen to have one on you?
Search me. Turn the dump upside down if you want to. I won't squawk if you got a search warrant.
Why were you tailing Floyd Thursby, Sam?
I wasn't. Archer was. For the swell reason that we had a client who was paying good money to have him tailed.
Who's the client?
Sorry, I can't tell you that.
You didn't go to Archer's house to tell his wife. I called up and the girl from your office was there and she said you told her to go.
What are you leading up to?
Just this, Spade. Floyd Thursby was shot down in front of his hotel about a half an hour after I talked to you.
Oh. I came into my apartment just a few minutes ahead of you. I was walking around thinking things over.
I knew you weren't here. I tried to get you on the phone. Where'd you walk to?
Just around. Thursby die?
Yeah.
How'd I kill him? I forget.
He was shot 4 times in the back.
Hotel people know anything about him?
Nothing. Except he'd been there a week.
Alone?
Alone.
You find out who he was? What his game was?
No, I thought you could tell me that.
I've never seen Thursby dead or alive.
Now, look, Spade. You know me. If you did get Thursby, you'll get a square deal from me. And most of the breaks. I don't know that I'd blame you a lot. Man that killed your partner. But that wouldn't keep me from nailing you.
That's fair enough. Now, would you mind scramming? I got some thinking to do, and I'd like to get a little sleep before daylight. Hello? Yeah, this is Sam Spade. Oh, I was just going to call you. Where are you? The Coronet on California Street, apartment 101. What's that? The name's Miss LeBlanc. Okay, I'll be right out. Oh, good morning.
Come in, Mr. Spade. Mr. Spade, I've a terrible, terrible confession to make. That story I told you yesterday was all just a story.
Huh. Oh, that. Well, we didn't exactly believe your story, Miss... Is your name Wonderly or LeBlanc?
It's really O'Shaughnessy, Bridget O'Shaughnessy.
Oh. Well, Miss O'Shaughnessy, as I said, we didn't exactly believe your story. We believed your $200.
Oh?
Yes, you see, you paid us too much to be telling the truth.
You knew that when you accepted the money?
I suspected it. I was positive when Joel Cairo called on me.
Joel Cairo?
Yeah. Yeah, he seems interested in Floyd Thursby, too.
What did he say?
About what?
About me.
Nothing.
Well, what did he talk about?
Well, he offered me $5,000 for a black statuette of a bird. He was pretty sure I had it or knew where it was.
Do you?
Oh, I think I know someone who does, and $5,000 is a lot of money. But right now, the police are trying to find out who hired us to tail Floyd Thursby.
Mr. Spade, do they know about me?
No, I don't think they do. I've been able to stall them so far.
Must they know about me at all, Mr. Spade? Couldn't you manage somehow to shield me from them?
Maybe. But I'll have to know what it's all about.
I can't tell you now. Later I will, when I can. You must trust me, Mr. Spade. Oh, I'm so alone and afraid. I've got nobody to help me if you won't help me. Be generous, Mr. Spade. You're strong. You're brave. You can spare me some of that strength and courage, surely.
Sister, you don't need much of anybody's help. You're good. Chiefly your eyes, I think, and that throb you get in your voice when you say things like, be generous, Mr. Spade.
All right. I deserve that. But the lie was in the way I said it, and not at all in what I said.
Ah, now you are dangerous. Still, Cairo offered me $5,000.
It's far more than I could ever offer you if I must bid for your loyalty.
Yeah, that's good coming from you. Have you given me any of your confidence, any of the truth? I can't go ahead without more confidence in you than I have now.
Can't you trust me just a little while? Well,
how much is a little? And what are you waiting for?
I must talk to Joe Cairo.
Oh. Well, you can see him tonight. I know where to reach him.
Oh, he can't come here. I can't let him know where I am. I'm afraid.
We'll all meet at my place, then.
All right.
I'm delighted to see you again, Miss O'Shaughnessy.
I was sure you would be, Joe. Mr. Spade told me about your offer for the Maltese Falcon. How soon can you have the money ready?
Oh, it is ready.
You are ready to give us $5,000 if we turn the Falcon over to you?
I shall be able to give you the money as soon as the bank opens in the morning.
But I haven't got the Falcon.
Then why did you send for me?
Because I'll have it in another week.
Yes? Where is it?
Where Floyd hid it.
Thursby?
Of course.
If you know where he hid it, why must we wait a week? And why are you willing to sell it to me?
I'm afraid. After what happened to Floyd, I'm afraid to touch it except to turn it over to somebody else right away.
Exactly what did happen to Floyd?
The fat man.
Gutman? Is he here?
I don't know. I suppose so.
If you two let me interrupt for a second, I can answer that. Gutman is here.
How do you know?
Because he called me and asked me to see him.
Have you?
Not yet. I thought that after our friend Cairo here left, I'd find out just how you and I stand before I took on any more clients.
Now, do you know how you and I stand, Sam?
Yeah. If I can believe anything about you. But you're such a liar.
I am a liar. I've always been a liar.
Well, I wouldn't brag about it. Was there any truth at all in that yarn you were telling me about Thursby and the Falcon?
Some. Not very much.
Well, we've got all night before us.
Oh, I'm so tired. So tired of lying and thinking up lies and not knowing what is a lie and what is the truth. I wish...
Hey, look, honey. I think I'd better have a talk with Gutman in the morning. Now, Mr. Gutman, shall we talk about the Falcon?
No. Oh, by all means, Mr. Spade. But first, answer me a question. Are you here as Miss O'Shaughnessy's representative?
Well, there's nothing certain about it either way yet. It depends.
Maybe it depends on Joel Cairo?
Maybe.
The question then, Mr. Spade, is which you'll represent. It'll be Miss O'Shaughnessy or Mr. Cairo?
I didn't say so.
Who else is there?
There's me.
Oh, well, that's wonderful, sir, wonderful. I do like a man who tells you right out he's looking out for himself. Don't we all?
Uh-huh. Now let's talk about the Black Bird.
Let's, Mr. Spade. Have you any conception of how much money can be got out of that Black Bird?
No, but you just tell me what it is, and I'll figure out the profits.
You mean you don't know what that bird is?
Well, I know it's black enamel, about a foot high, and I know the value in human life you people put on it.
Miss O'Shaughnessy didn't tell you what it is?
He offered me
ten... Cairo didn't either?
He offered me 10,000 for it.
Do either of them know what that bird is, sir? What is your impression?
Well, there's not much to go by, but I don't think so.
If they don't know, I'm the only one in the whole wide, sweet world who does.
Good. And when you tell me, there'll be two of us.
Mathematically correct, sir. But I don't know for certain that I'm going to tell you.
Well, you think again and think fast. You'll do your talking today or you're through. What are you wasting my time for? I can get along without you.
That remains to be seen, Mr. Spade. There are ways...
And there's another thing. Keep that gunman of yours away from me while you're making up your mind or I'll kill him.
Well, sir, I must say you have a very violent temper.
Think it over. You got till 5:30. Then you're either in or out for keeps.
Grimmer.
I'm going to kill that guy. I could have done it easy when he was standing there with his back to me.
Of course you could, my boy. But business before pleasure. And we'll be seeing Mr. Spade again before 5:30.
And that was Act One of The Maltese Falcon, starring Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor, Sidney Greenstreet, and Peter Lorre. They'll be back again in just a few minutes with the second act. But right now, it's intermission time and headline time in the Frontline Theater. Paul Whiteman and his orchestra are taking their places on our stage. They're going to play a number for you they introduced way back in the 1920s. It was a tremendous hit at their first performance, and since then, it has become famous throughout the world. George Gershwin wrote it, The Rhapsody in Blue. So let's listen now to the original Paul Whiteman interpretation featuring Roy Bargy at the piano. George Gershwin's masterpiece, The Rhapsody in Blue.
Thank you.
Thank you, Paul Whiteman, and thanks to all the men in your orchestra, especially Roy Bargy for that swell job on the piano. And now the curtain rises on the second act of The Maltese Falcon, starring Humphrey Bogart as Sam Spade, Mary Astor as Bridget O'Shaughnessy, Sidney Greenstreet as Casper Gutman, the fat man, and Peter Lorre as Joel Cairo. Late in the afternoon, following Sam Spade's visit to Gutman's apartment, a dying man staggered into Spade's office and collapsed on the floor. He died before he could speak to Detective Spade, but his papers identified him as Captain Rockaby of the steamship La Paloma, and clasped to his bullet-torn chest was the Maltese Falcon. After depositing the Falcon in a railroad station check room and mailing the identification check to his private post office box, Sam met Bridget O'Shaughnessy and took her to his apartment.
You know, Sam, I never would have faced myself in this position if I hadn't trusted you completely.
Oh, that again?
But you know that's so.
You don't have to trust me as long as you can persuade me to trust you.
But Sam, darling...
Well, I think we better let it go at that until we see what happens after Gutman gets here.
The fat man? Here?
Certainly, why not? Anyway, that should be him. Though it's too late to change our plans. I'll be right back. Oh, hello, Gutman.
Good evening, sir.
I see you brought company. I can understand the gunman, but I didn't know Cairo was a friend of yours.
No, we're old acquaintances. Now that we're all here, let's go in and sit down and be comfortable and talk.
Oh, sure. Come on in. Now, look, Angel. Gutman brought a couple of friends along.
Good evening, Mr. Shaughnessy.
Hello, Joe.
You look unusually charming this evening, my dear.
Thanks.
The gunsel doesn't talk, Angel. Get away from me, punk.
Stand still and shut up.
Listen, you're not going to frisk me, touch me, and I'm going to make you use that gun. Ask your boss if he wants me shut up before we talk.
Never mind, Wilmer. You're certainly a most headstrong and unpredictable individual, Mr. Spade. Now, why did you send for me?
You ready to make the first payment and take the Falcon off my hands?
The Falcon?
That's right, Angel. I've got it.
Well, sir, I have in this envelope $10,000.
$10,000? Oh, we were talking about more money than that.
Yes, sir, we were, but there are more of us to be taken care of now.
Well, that may be, but I've got the Falcon.
I shouldn't think it would be necessary to remind you, Mr. Spade, that though you may have the Falcon, yet we certainly have you.
Yes, I'm trying not to let that worry me, but let the money wait. There's another thing to be taken care of first. We've got to have a fall guy.
I beg your pardon?
Police have got to have a victim, somebody they can stick for those three murders.
Two. Only two murders, Mr. Spade. Thursby undoubtedly killed your partner.
All right, two then. Now, the point I've got to give the police, a victim when the time comes. If I don't, I'll be it. Let's give him Wilmer here.
Why, you dirty rat.
He actually did shoot Thursby and Jacoby, didn't he? Anyway, he's made to order for the part. Let's turn him over to them.
By gad, so you are a character, that you are. There's never any telling what you'll say or do next, except that it's bound to be something astonishing.
Well, it's our best bet. With him in their hands, the police will forget the rest of us.
Your plan is not at all practical, sir. Let's not say anything more about it.
All right. I have another suggestion. Let's give him Cairo.
Well, by God, sir.
Suppose we give him you, Mr. Spade, or Mr. Shaughnessy. How about that, huh?
Sam, you wouldn't.
You people want the fork, and I've got it. The fall guy is part of the price I'm insisting on.
You seem to forget you're not in a position to insist on anything.
No? If you kill me, how are you going to get the forking?
By God, sir, you are a character.
Well?
What else can I do? I'm sorry, Wilma. Terribly sorry. I want you to know that I couldn't be any fonder of you if you were my own son. But, well, you lose a son, it's possible to get another. And there's only one more to use, Falcon.
You rat, I'll kill you for this.
Thank you, Mr. Spade. When you're young as Wilma, one simply doesn't understand these things.
Well, how about some coffee, Bridget? Put the pot on, will you? I don't like to leave my guests.
Surely. Anything to get out of here.
Now, sir, let's get down to business.
I ought to have more than 10,000.
Of course, sir, you understand this is the first payment. You still don't understand the Falcon's worth.
Well, a black enamel bird can't be worth millions.
But it is. Otherwise, I should not have spent 17 years of my life trying to acquire it. The black enamel you refer to, sir, is merely camouflage, covering a solid gold bird encrusted from head to foot with the finest jewel.
Okay. So I get millions later. How's about 15,000 now?
Frankly and candidly, and on my word of honor as a gentleman, 10,000 I gave you is all the money I can raise right now.
But you didn't say positively.
Positively.
Well, if that's the best you can do, it's the best you can do. But it's understood the punk has to stand as the fall guy.
That is part of our agreement, sir.
Okay, I'll make a phone call. The Falcon will be here in an hour.
This is not the Maltese Falcon. This is a lead imitation covered with the same enamel. See where I've shaved it off with a knife? Lead? Pure lead.
You bungled it. You got him, and you and your stupid attempt to buy it from the Russian who owned it. He caught on to how valuable it was. No wonder we had so little trouble stealing it. You imbecile. You bloated idiot.
Well, sir, what do you suggest? Shall we stand here and shed tears and call each other names? Or shall we pay the Russian another call in Istanbul?
Are you going?
17 years I've wanted that little item, and I intend to get it. Another year, well, sir, that will be an additional expenditure of time on only 5 15/17%.
I go with you.
Good. And Wilma.
Wilma,
where is the boy?
You must have had made his getaway while we were unwrapping the fog.
A swell lot of thieves.
Well, sir? I left to ask you to return my $10,000.
I held up my end. It's your hard luck, not mine, if you didn't get what you wanted.
I'm sorry, but I must insist.
Oh, a hideout gun, huh? Okay.
Thank you, sir. The shortest farewells are the best. Adieu. And to you, Miss O'Shaughnessy, I leave the fake Falcon as a little memento.
Come, girl.
Hello, police department. Lieutenant Dundee there, put him on. Tell him Sam Spade's calling. Now look, Angel. Gutman and Cairo will talk when the cops nail him about us. We've only got minutes to get set for the police. Now give me your whole story, fast.
Well, where shall I begin?
The day you first came to my office. Why did you want Thursby shadowed?
I suspected him of betraying me to Gutman, and I wanted to find
out.
That's
a lie. Gutman tried to make a deal with him. You had Thursby hooked, and you knew it. You wanted to get him out of the way before Captain Jacoby arrived with the Falcon. Isn't that so? What was your scheme?
I thought if he saw someone following him, he might be frightened into going away.
Now look, Archer hadn't many brains, but he wasn't clumsy enough to be spotted the first night. You must have told Thursby he was being followed.
I told him. Yes. But please believe me, Sam, I wouldn't have told him if I'd thought Floyd would kill him.
If you thought he wouldn't kill Archie, you were right, Angel.
Didn't he?
Archie had been a detective too long to be caught shadowing a man up a blind alley with his gun tucked away in his hip and his overcoat buttoned. But he'd have gone up there with you, Angel. He was just dumb enough for that. And then you could have stood as close to him as you liked, there in the dark. Put a hole through him with a gun you'd gotten from Thursby that evening.
Don't talk to me like that, Sam. You know I didn't.
Now, the police will be blowing in any minute now, Angel. Talk.
Oh, why do you accuse me of such a terrible...
Why did you shoot Archie? Thought Thursby would tackle him and one or the other would go down. If Thursby was killed, then you were rid of him. If it was Archer, then you could see that Thursby was caught. Was that it?
Something.
And when
something
you find
like
out that.
That
Thursby didn't mean to tackle Archer, you borrowed the gun and did it yourself, right?
I guess so.
I know so. You didn't know Gutman was here looking for you until you learned Thursby was shot. Then you needed another protector. So you came back to me.
Yes, but so, sweetheart, it wasn't only that. I would have come back to you sooner or later. From the very first instant I saw you, I knew that.
You angel. Well, if you get a good break, you'll be out of San Quentin in 20 years.
Sam, you're not...
Yes, Angel. I'm going to send you over. But if they hang you, I'll always remember you.
Don't, Sam. Don't say that. Even in fun.
It's not fun. I happen to be in the detective business, and you killed my partner. Bad business to let the killer get away with it. Bad for every detective in this country. You're taking the fall.
You've been playing with me. Only pretending you care to trap me like this. You didn't care at all. You don't love me.
I think I do. What of it? I won't play the sap for you.
No, it's not like that. You can't say that.
I am saying it.
You know down deep in your heart, you know that in spite of everything I've done, I love you.
I don't care who loves who. You killed Archer. You're going over for it. Come in. Oh, hello, copper.
Hello, Sam.
Get Gutman and Cairo.
We got Cairo. Gutman's dead. Kid Wilmer had just finished shooting him when we got there.
I ought to have expected that. You better put the cuffs on Angel, copper. We're taking her down to the station.
What charge?
Damn.
Murder. She shot Miles Archer. Oh, and you better bring that blackbird along, too, copper. It's part of the evidence against Cairo.
Hey, this is heavy. What's it made of?
The stuff that dreams are made of.
Well, men, the curtain has fallen on today's Frontline Theater play, The Maltese Falcon, starring Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor, Sidney Greenstreet, and Peter Lorre. But there are more plays coming, radio versions of smash hit comedies, dramas, musicals, and mysteries, and with the top stars of stage and screen to appear in them. So keep on listening, won't you? This Frontline Theater play was presented especially for you men in the Armed Forces of the United Nations by the Special Service Division of the War Department of the United States of America.
In a few minutes, mister, this town will be owned by a band of renegades. And you'll be dead.
Have Gun, Will Travel. Starring Mr. John Daner as Paladin. San Francisco, 1875, the Carlton Hotel, headquarters of a man called Paladin.
Oh,
I thought you'd never get down, hey boy.
Oh, it was a big job, Mr. Paladin.
Let's hurry. The stage is ready to leave. The driver promised to wait for me.
Why you want so many things in one suitcase? Make my job easier if you take two suitcases.
It's easier for me when I only have one bag to carry on a long trip. Oh, give me the bag. I'll take it from here. There's no need for you to get wet. Goodbye, hey boy.
Goodbye, Mr. Paladin.
I'm terribly sorry. Here, let me help you up. Please, forgive me, please. Are you hurt?
My dress. It's soaking.
This is terrible.
You've ruined my dress.
Please, I'll buy you another dress. I'm catching the stage, and they're ready to pull out. I must go, but I'll be back in about 10 days.
Well,
I'll take care of it then. I'll buy you another dress. Oh, here's my card. I'm registered at the hotel.
Have gun, will travel. Wire Paladin. San Francisco.
Dandruff bothers most men, most women too, so listen. Today you can get rid of embarrassing dandruff in just 3 minutes. Yes, with Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo, unsightly dandruff's gone in 3 minutes. It's the quickest, easiest of all leading shampoos. That's not all. Using Fitch regularly is guaranteed to keep embarrassing dandruff away. Simply apply in the unique Fitch manner. Before you wet hair, rub in 1 minute. This way, Fitch shampoo penetrates right down to the scalp. Next, add water. Lather 1 minute to wash every trace of dandruff out of your hair. Then rinse 1 minute. All that loosened dandruff goes down the drain. In 3 minutes with Fitch, one rubbing, one lathering, one rinsing, dandruff's gone. And never forget, gentle Fitch can also leave your hair up to 35% brighter. To get rid of dandruff problems forever, brighten hair too, use Fitch regularly. Get Fitch Dandruff Remover Shampoo today, only 59 cents.
I had looked forward to this trip to North Fork, not because of the job there, which turned out to be routine, uneventful, but because it would give me the opportunity to visit some old friends of mine in Three Winds on my way home, Sheriff Barry Deaver and his wife. The 20-mile ride from North Fork through sand dunes, buttes, and low hills led me to an unusually quiet Three Winds. The one saloon in town was quiet, too.
What'll it be, mister?
Whiskey.
If you're going to be in town for a while, you better check that gun in with the sheriff.
Against the law to wear a gun in Three Winds?
It sure is. Sheriff Deaver's the only one who can carry a firearm in this town.
Sheriff Deaver has changed his laws since I was here last. Something new?
6 months new.
Well, I'm on my way over to Deaver's office. I'll turn it in then if need be. He's a friend of mine.
Yeah? You from Philadelphia?
No. California.
Didn't think you looked like an Easterner. I thought the only friends Owen Deaver had left lived in Philadelphia.
Owen? No, I'm a friend of Owen's father.
Oh, well, didn't you hear? Old Barry's dead.
You dead? Barry Deaver?
Yeah. Last fall, died of consumption. Owen came back from law school in Philadelphia and took over his shop. Uh-oh. There's going to be trouble for sure.
Why, it's just a couple of raunchy cowboys.
Yeah, but Deaver will arrest them. He don't allow no shooting in town.
Well, look here, French. One customer in this saloon on a Saturday afternoon.
Hey, what time do the girls come in, Whiskey Man?
No girls allowed in this saloon.
No girls?
City law.
Didn't know we was in a city. Only seen one saloon. Takes two to make a city, don't it?
Don't matter, French. We'll go up to North Fork. Plenty of girls up there.
Now, we got to have a drink first. Bring us two bottles. One for me and one for Mason here.
I can't sell it by the bottle. Only four drinks to a customer. It's the law.
What kind of law are you talking about?
My law. The law of Three Winds.
Well, I didn't know this town was big enough to have a sheriff.
The law says four drinks to a person is the quota for a day. The same law says all guns must be turned into my office when you arrive in Three Winds.
I'll give them back
to you when you leave.
Don't you think you ought to let law-abiding people keep their guns to defend themselves with?
I defend law-abiding people in this town. They don't have to carry guns.
As long as we get them back, I'll go along with your ordinance, Sheriff.
Lay it on the table. All right, you men, I'm waiting.
Mason?
Do what he says.
Yeah. There ain't no use arguing with a load of turkey shot.
They'll be at my office when you leave town.
Watch it, Sheriff.
My hand. Just shot my hand.
Whose side are you on, anyway?
You can lock him up, Sheriff. He just tried to throw a knife in your back.
You ruined my hand.
Thanks for saving my life. But I'll have to take you in, too.
For what?
For concealing that derringer. You should have turned it in with the other gun. Hand it over.
Look, if I hadn't kept the derringer, you would have been killed.
The law still stands. You'll spend a week in jail.
What about me? What about my hand?
You'll live, but you'll be in lockup till the judge comes through here. Then you'll be tried for attempted murder.
You taking me to jail, too?
No. You'll get out of town. If I ever see you back here again, I'll put you in jail for a year for trespassing. This town's out of limits to you because you've been associated with a murderer.
Well, now, ain't you tall? That shotgun sure makes you something I never heard of before.
Get out of here.
I'm going. But I'll see you again, mister.
What kind of rules are you laying down in this town, Deaver?
Rules that respectful citizens expect from their sheriff.
Well, don't you know if you disarm everyone who comes to Three Winds, you're waving a red flag in front of every gunfighter who thinks he's bigger than the law?
As long as I'm sheriff, there's no one bigger than the law in Three Winds. Let's go.
Friends drop in, let your hospitality show you're sociable in the modern manner. Pepsi, you know, is the favorite of the smart and young at heart.
Be sociable, look smart, keep up to date with Pepsi. Drink light, refreshing Pepsi. Stay young and fair and debonair. Be sociable. Pepsi.
Have you tried a Pepsi lately?
All right, get in there.
Deaver, you better get some bandages for this man's hand.
I need a doctor, that's what I need. Or does the law allow a prisoner to have a doctor?
We'll get you fixed up. Ma!
Gotta come the new prisoner, one of them needs a doctor.
You're a fool, a two-headed fool, shooting that knife out of my hand. You got your brains in your feet. I'll never forget what you did, mister. We could have both been free if you hadn't butted in.
You talk too much, Enfield.
How do you know my name?
Didn't take much to figure you're one of the Enfield brothers and that the kid named French is a member of your gang.
Well, we must be getting famous when tin horns like you know who we are. Well, I'll tell you something. It's going to be mighty miserable for you when my brothers come back to get me out of here. You wish you'd never heard of the Enfield gang.
Oh, and I don't know why you have to arrest every stranger who walks into this town. If I'm nursing, I'm cooking, and if I... Paladin!
Hello, Ma.
Paladin, bless the stars in heaven. It's good to see you.
It's good to see you, too,
well,
Ma.
Well, how long has it been? A year? Year and a half?
Oh, no, almost two now.
Oh, and you never met Paladin, did you?
No.
You was away in school, eh, son? He helped your pa round up the orneriest, wildest bunch of gunfighters you ever seen. It was the Barton brothers, wasn't it, Paladin?
That's right.
Well, what brings you back to Three Winds? Paladin, what are you doing behind those bars? Oh, and how come Paladin's in jail?
Well, Ma,
did you arrest him, Owen Deaver?
Yes, I did.
Well, you just get him out of there right this minute, do you hear?
I can't do that. He violated the law.
Violated the law? Now, just who do you think you are arresting a man like this? I'll turn him loose. Turn Paladin loose, or so help me, I'll take a paddle and beat you to a blister.
That's all right, Ma.
Well, it ain't all right, neither.
Now that Owen knows that I'm a friend of the family, he and I can talk this out.
We can talk as much as you like, Paladin, but you're going to stay in jail for a week. It's the law.
For a week? For what?
For concealing a firearm and not turning it in.
There you go again, with another one of your stupid ordinances. Now, what's going to come of all your foolishness, Owen?
The law is the...
The law is the law. Listen to him, Paladin. We let him go to Philadelphia to study, and what does he bring back? 5 books, that's all. Those 5 books over there on his desk. The Municipal Code of Philadelphia. And he's been beating the town over the head with them ever since he come back. The ranch hands won't come into town anymore because he won't even let them spit in the street. Why, it's come to the place where nobody's even got any respect for the name of Deaver.
Ma, I don't hold any offense against him. If this is the law of three winds, I want to abide by it. We'll talk it out later. Now, you give me those bandages, and I'll take care of this man's hand for you.
Yeah, all right. I guess there ain't no use arguing with you. Or with Owen either, for that matter.
He's a man of principle and strong will. I'd say he takes after his ma.
Ah, go on with your foolishness. I'm going to start your supper.
There goes a fine woman, Owen. You ought to be proud of her.
I am. She doesn't realize the ways of the old frontier towns are gone.
Are they?
You're going to stand there and talk all day. My hand ain't getting any better.
Owen, have you heard of the Enfield gang?
Enfield? Yeah, I got a circular on him just the other day. It's in my desk somewhere.
Well, this man is Mason Enfield. His partner in the saloon was another member of the gang, the one they call French.
Are you sure?
He's lying, Sheriff. Never even heard of the Enfield gang.
I'll see if I can find the circular.
Now, here's the bandage. Hold out your hand now. Let's see what we can do.
Thanks, Rabbit Head. It's a good thing my left hand's in good shape.
Why,
all
you...
All right, come on, hold it. What's the matter, Paladin? Why did you hit him?
Because he tried to hit me. Guess he didn't want me to tell you who he was.
Ah, you are right. His picture's here on the circular with the others. And here's the one that was in the saloon with him, French.
Well, French will bring the others back here to get Mason out. 3 more of them, Owen. And they'll shoot this town up and drag the jail down the middle of the street. You're going to need help. Let me out of here.
No.
Owen, I helped your father once. You and I could nail the Enfield gang.
I won't let you out, Paladin. I'll round up a few deputies. We'll be ready for the Enfields when they get here.
I hope you are, Owen. Because there's a lot that could go wrong.
There goes a treasure car. There goes another. And another. And one of them may be your car. Yes, folks, you may have a Fram treasure hunt filter in your car worth $1,000 and not even know it. A Fram filter worth 1,000 silver dollars. A filter change is important to today's cars, so important that Fram Corporation, in conjunction with its silver anniversary, is paying $60,000 in cash to get you to check your filters now. Last year, 10,000 secretly numbered Fram filters were distributed all over the United States and installed in cars during regular servicing. These filters are worth from $1 to $1,000. You may have one in your car and not even know it. A Fram filter worth 1,000 silver dollars. Check your oil filter and air filter now. If there's a specially numbered Fram filter in your car, you will win up to 1,000 silver dollars, and your dealer will win the same amount. Get in on Fram's big silver treasure hunt. Check your car filters now.
Owen Deaver, stubborn when it came to upholding his new laws, was inherently a kind-hearted man. He was considerate enough to move me to another cell, which allowed me a decent night's sleep away from Mason Enfield. Next morning, Ma Deaver let me out to have breakfast with her in the kitchen. Owen was out trying to round up some deputies.
Paladin, what am I going to do about Owen and his crazy books?
He's still young. He'll learn in time, if he doesn't get killed first.
You think they'll come, the Enfields?
They'll come.
Well, Owen knows how to fight. Mr. Deaver taught him. How to shoot a gun, use his fists, everything. He can hold his own when it comes to fighting. But he never learned the good judgment his father had.
He's a rare youngster who learns wisdom from his parents. It usually comes self-taught through experience.
Did you have any luck, Owen?
No, Violet. What are you doing out of your cell, Paladin?
I let him out.
He's under arrest. Don't you ever let him out again.
What'll you do? Arrest me?
Oh, get back inside, Paladin.
All right, Owen.
Instead of putting him back in jail, why don't you deputize him? He's a friend.
He's also a prisoner. Get in there.
Owen, when your father ran this office, he wasn't afraid to take advice. Not even from a woman.
I'm not, Pa. I don't try to be.
You couldn't be. He was respected and well-liked.
Well, why shouldn't he be well-liked? He never stepped on anyone's toes.
He didn't have to. And he didn't need these 5 books to tell him what was right or wrong.
She's right, Owen.
Now, don't you start in on me, Paladin. What's the matter with everyone? Why can't they understand what I'm trying to do here?
What made you choose the Philadelphia ordinances for 3 Winds?
Because they're good ones. I like living in a city guided by laws like these.
But this isn't Philadelphia. There's no mayor here, no town council. All you have is a sheriff and a judge who comes through once a month. It's the sheriff who must decide what's right and what's best for his town.
Yeah, and if the sheriff gets up on the wrong side of the bed one morning, everything's a crime that day. But if he wakes up feeling good, nothing's illegal. That's why we've got to have a legal written code to live by.
I'm not arguing against that principle, but don't you think that you should write your own code? One that fits your town?
Owen, they're out there.
Who's out there?
The Enfields, out front. I saw them through the curtains. 2 men are behind a wagon across the street. The other one's at the side of the house.
They're waiting for you to come out the front door.
I'll go out the back door and around the side.
You won't have a chance against 3 killers. Let me go with you.
No.
Ma, get my gun and go with him. Go ahead. You know how to pull a trigger.
You want to get her killed?
Well, I'm not going to stand by and let them come in here and shoot us after you get killed.
There's nothing you can do.
I can draw their fire, give you a better chance.
But they'll kill you, don't you understand?
Who's going with you, Owen, your mother or me?
All right. All right, Paladin, you win.
Get my gun, Ma.
Sure.
Owen, there's a flat roof over the jail. Is there any way we can get up on top without making too much noise?
Yeah, through the kitchen. There's a ladder just outside the back door. Yeah.
Here's your gun.
Thanks, Ma. Let's go.
Get out! There's another one out there.
Yeah. Yeah, either that or the man on the side of the building came around back.
What do we do?
Go up to the front window and open fire on the 2 up on the wagon. I'll try to get this man back here.
How?
I'll stay down on the floor and open the door to draw his fire. Now go on, hurry.
All right.
Did you kill him?
Yeah, he made a good target standing up at the rain barrel. If you'd have crouched behind it.
You think these 2 by the wagon are the only ones left?
Uh-huh. Now, you take anything on the right.
Uh-huh.
I'll take the left. As soon as one of them raises up to shoot... You got him. You know how to use a rifle.
I had a good teacher. Oh, there goes the other.
He's down. Come on.
Both of them are dead. You're pretty good with a 6-gun.
I had some experience with the same teacher you did.
My pa was a man you could learn a lot from.
Yeah. I remember something else I learned from him the last time I was here. It was something he said.
What was that?
That one man doesn't have the right to say what's good for all men. The lawman doesn't try to dictate the will of the people. He reflects it.
Paladin, you know anyone might be interested in buying some books?
Oh, I wouldn't sell those books, Owen. Just put them away for a while. Who knows, someday 3 Winds might have a mayor, town council, or even sidewalks.
Yeah, maybe so.
Come on, we got to dig some graves.
Mr. Paladin.
Hey, boy.
Oh, I knew you coming on the stage tonight. I make bet on it.
Well, don't ever make bets on when I'll be returning to the Carlton. Let's get my luggage up to the room, will you, please?
Oh, yes, sir. I know when you come back this time. It's in the air.
What's in the air?
Rain. It rains when you leave, and when it rains again, I know you come back. Oh, this time.
What about the young lady? The one I accidentally knocked down when I left?
Oh, you make a very big splash.
Oh?
She's the one I make bet with on your returning.
Oh, and she's still here. Did she order a new dress?
No, not yet. She waited for you. She said she'll ask you to go shopping with her.
If I remember, she was the most attractive young lady.
Most attractive.
Why don't you make arrangements for this evening, hey boy?
To go shopping?
Of course. But be sure we start in the lounge at 7 with cocktails.
Yes, sir, Mr. Paladin.
Here comes Elmer Blurt, world's lowest pressure salesman.
Nobody home. Hope.
Rudolph the bodybuilder, at your service.
I only came to tell you about the new 1959 Rambler.
Okay, lie down on the table and let's talk.
Well, I don't know.
Lie down!
But the 59 Rambler...
I know. First in sales gains, first in economy, first with personalized comfort.
Couldn't you just count on your fingers?
Imagine, Rambler seats are individually adjustable. Perfect fit, perfect comfort for tall people or short. No more kinks in those leg muscles there.
Oh, woe is me.
No stiff neck either.
Oh, ouch.
Because Rambler has adjustable headrests. Yes, sir, only Rambler has the best of both. Big car room, small car economy. Well, you've sold me. Sign me up.
Okay, but you'll have to carry me out to my Rambler so I can get my order pad.
Rambler outsells all six of the best-selling foreign makes combined. 59 Rambler sales are nearly 2.5 times greater than a year ago. See the success car at Rambler Dealers. Have Gun, Will Travel. Created by Herb Meadow and Sam Rolfe, is produced and directed by Norman McDonnell and stars John Daner as Paladin with Ben Wright as Hayboy. Tonight's story was written by Sam Rolfe and adapted for radio by Frank Michael. Featured in the cast were Paul Dubov, Helen Cleve, Ken Lynch, Jess Kirkpatrick, and Sam Edwards. Hugh Douglas speaking. Join us again next week for Have Gun, Will Travel.